The following audio is from the weekly message at Summit Church in the Upstate of South Carolina. More information is available at summitupstate.org.
Good morning. My name is Austin McCallum. I am the student ministry pastor here at Summit. And it is a pleasure to open up the Word with you all this morning. Y'all doing good? Everybody find a seat. We are going to be in Psalm 25 this morning. If you have a Bible, you can turn there. And while you're turning, I'll go ahead and pray over our time together. Father, there is no one like you. You're over all. You're in all and you're through all. And Lord, we ask that you would make your presence known to us this morning. Lord, we ask that through your Spirit, in your word, that you would allow us to learn your truth. And that as we do, it would be for the sake of greater and more full unity with you and unity with one another. Lord, we ask these things in the precious name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. All right, we're going to be in Psalm 25. Like I said, I will go ahead and read the whole of the psalm over us, and then we'll dive in. Psalm 25 of David. To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. O my God, in you I trust. Let me not be put to shame. Let not my enemies exult over me. Indeed, none who wait for you shall be put to shame. They shall be ashamed who are wantonly treacherous. Make me to know your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. For you I wait all the day long. Remember your mercy, O Lord, and your steadfast love, for they have been from of old. Remember not the sins of my youth or my transgressions. According to your steadfast love, remember me for the sake of your goodness, O Lord. Good and upright is the Lord, therefore he instructs sinners in the way. He leads the humble in what is right and teaches the humble his way. All the paths of the Lord are steadfast. All the paths of the Lord are steadfast love and faithfulness for those who keep his covenant and his testimonies. For your name's sake, O Lord, pardon my guilt, for it is great. Who is the man who fears the Lord? Him will he instruct in the way that he should choose. His soul shall abide in well-being, and his offspring shall inherit the land. The friendship of the Lord is for those who fear him, and he makes known to them his covenant. My eyes are ever toward the Lord, for he will pluck my feet out of the net. Turn to me and be gracious to me, for I am lonely and afflicted. The troubles of my heart are enlarged. Bring me out of my distresses. Consider my affliction and my trouble and forgive all my sins. Consider how many are my foes and with what violent hatred they hate me. O, guard my soul and deliver me. Let me not be put to shame, for I take refuge in you. May integrity and uprightness preserve me, for I wait for you. Redeem Israel, O God, out of all his troubles. All right. I wanted to start by asking you all a question. First, let me set up my timer. I want to respect your time. I also don't want to have the longest sermon out of this week. I want to start by asking you guys a question, and the question is, and it's going to sound dumb, when was the last time that someone picked you up? And some of you are children in here, and you're like, I don't know, a few minutes ago. But some of you, you're probably like, yo, I don't know the last time somebody picked me up. Well, I was thinking about it, and the last time that someone picked me up was at beach camp last year. I was in the pool, and I was doing what youth pastors do, and I was just like sneaking around, targeting kids, like sneaking up behind like guys and just suplexing them into the pool. It was awesome. Until because I had exalted myself, God humbled me, and a junior football player who is a part of our Summit Easley congregation snuck up behind me. I don't know how he snuck up on me because he's a lineman and he doesn't sneak anywhere. I was so consumed with greed to get more people that he got me while I was down, suplexed me. As I was in the air, I realized I have no control over this situation. I'm going wherever he takes me. That's what I realized. And unfortunately, he's probably like, I don't know, how tall is Braden? 6'1", 6'2"? I'm like 6 foot. We were in 3 feet of water. So he slams me backwards. My head hits the bottom of the pool. I scrape up my shoulder. It was a sick prank. I realized that was a result of my poor leadership. So I took those wounds and I just rolled with it. The reason I start off with that question is because this is similar to the posture that I think we get at the beginning of this psalm. This psalm kind of breaks down into three sections. It's going to be verses 1 through 7 are a prayer. Verses 8 through 14 is David proclaiming truth. And if you wanted to go with three P's, the ending 16, or 15 through 22, you can call that the plea. The prayer, the proclamation, and the plea. And the prayer begins with this posture that David is assuming, and he's saying, God, I'm taking my soul, I'm taking the essence of who I am, I'm taking my whole life in my hands, and I'm offering it up to you. I want you to be the one that holds my life. I'm trusting you with all that I am and with all that I have. I'm giving my life to you, and you can do with it whatever you will. That's the beginning of the prayer. That's the beginning of this psalm. And so just like me, when I was picked up, I had no more control. David is saying, God, you have control over my life, and I trust you to do with it whatever you would like, and I trust that it's going to be good. He starts off with, God, I trust you. I lift up my soul to you. And then he's going to make three petitions in this beginning prayer, or three requests. He says, God, I trust you, but don't let me be put to shame. God, I trust you, but make your way known to me. God, I trust you, but remember me. This is the prayer that he starts with. The first one, let me not be put to shame. God, I trust you, but don't let me be put to shame. This is David saying to God in a prayer, God, I've been following you. I really do trust you. You hold my life in your hands, and I know that's the best place for it to be. But please don't let all of this be for naught. Please don't let all of this end up being futile. Please don't let the way that I've been chasing after you, the way that I've tried to follow your lead, please don't let it be for nothing. And specifically, he's saying, please don't let my enemies win over me so that they might look back at me and all of Israel and say, where was your God? And then he moves on. God, I trust you, but make known to me your ways. And he actually is going to say this in a few different ways. Make known to me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth. You are the God of my salvation. For you I wait all the day long. This request is something like, God, don't just show me the direction. Show me the direction, but don't leave it at that. Actually set my feet on the path in the right direction. But don't just set my feet there. Teach my feet how to move. And then don't just set my feet there and teach them how to move, but grab my hand and lead me. He's acknowledging, God, I trust you, but I need to know what is the way forward. God, I trust you because you've been the God of my salvation. You've delivered me over and over and over again. And in this moment, I will wait on you. But if you've read up about David's life, or maybe even just while we were reading this psalm, you already realized David's in trouble. He seems to always be in trouble. But right now he's in trouble and maybe he's feeling it a bit uniquely. He's saying, God, I trust you, but I need you to move. I need to know where to go and I need you to take me there. And part of the way we know he's in trouble, other than the fact that he's saying, don't let my enemies win over me, is his request to be remembered. It's not that God ever forgets anything. And David knows that. He's not asking God literally to remember. What he's communicating to God is, God, it feels like you've forgotten me. God, it feels like maybe you don't see me. And so he's asking God, would you remember the mercy and the love with which you have dealt with me in the past? Would you remember the way that you've not judged me based off of the sins of my youth, but instead you've dealt with me according to your great love? Would you remember our history together? And would you continue to be the God that you've always been? Would you continue to deal with me out of the love that you have? Would you show me right now that you love me for the sake of your goodness, so that we would keep on saying how good you are? This is David's prayer at the beginning of Psalm 25. Lord, I trust you. Don't let me be put to shame. Would you make known to me your ways? And would you remember me? Would you deal with me according to your love and not according to what I deserve? And then he's going to move into a section that I believe can be marked as verse 8 through 14, where he's just going to start proclaiming truth about who God is and some of who David is in light of that. He's going to talk about what does it look like to relate to God. And I think when we're praying, it's good for us to note, this is a little side note here for you, a little nugget for you to take. It's always good to recount truth and share it with one another, but it's also good to just proclaim truth over ourselves and our life situations. And so as David is praying and he's thinking about the circumstances that he's in, which we're not totally privy to, but we do know he's in trouble, he finds time in the midst of a prayer to just start proclaiming truth over himself. Verse 8, good and upright is the Lord, therefore he instructs sinners in the way. And then he's going to go on and he's going to talk about this is a holy God. This is the good and upright God. And what he chooses to do, not because they deserve it, but what he chooses to do is he chooses to get with sinners and he's going to bring them into humility. He's going to humble these sinners so that they might be able to see his way. And what is the way in which God is leading them in? Well, God's way. All the paths of the Lord are steadfast love and faithfulness for those who keep his covenant and his testimonies. So all of the sinners that have been humbled by God, they're going to be led in a way that's full of love and full of faithfulness because that's who God is. So this is the truth that David's proclaiming. And it's for everyone that keeps his covenant. And as David is proclaiming this truth, what happens as he's looking at God and he's talking about how good and upright and holy and set apart God is, he then evaluates himself and sees that he's not those things. And in verse 11, he says, for your name's sake, O Lord, pardon my guilt, for it is great. God is the one that keeps the covenant. David knows that he's breached the contract. David knows that he's the sinner that needs humbling so that he might be able to follow God, and God is the one that's delivering the blessing. And in verse 11, it sounds kind of funny because he says, for your name's sake. And it almost sounds like either David is presuming upon forgiveness or maybe that he's trying to say, like, God, if you are good, then forgive me. But I don't think that's what he's getting at. I think what he's getting at is he's saying, pardon my guilt, God, for it is great, but we know that you're greater. If you are, and I believe you to be, the God of steadfast love and faithfulness, you move towards the sinners and you lead them into blessing that they never earned, then I know that you'll continue to be a good God who forgives my sins as I chase after you. And then he jumps right back into proclaiming truth, talking about what does it look like to walk with God? What does it look like to be in relationship with him? What does it look like to follow in his way? Who is the man who fears the Lord? Him he will instruct in the way that he should choose. His soul shall abide in well-being, and his offspring shall inherit the land. The friendship of the Lord is for those who fear him, and he makes known to them his covenant. David is tying together humility and the fear of the Lord. He's saying all of the sinners that have been humbled by God, when they are humbled, they're able to see God for who he really is, and God allows them to see themselves for who they really are. And as they do, what they come into is they come into respect for God, an awe of God, a reverence of God, a humility that they're seeing that he's the creator and the people are the created. David is saying, I see who you are. I fear you appropriately. And as I do, as I walk in your way, as you lead me in humility and a correct reverence or fear of you, what is the reward for walking in your path? Well, the reward is even more of God. What is the reward for God leading you and you following him? David is saying the reward for all of those things is even more of God's paths, and all of his paths are steadfast love and faithfulness. So David is acknowledging, although he's in this time of trouble, although the circumstances are not ideal, God, I will continue to walk with you. And what I know to be true is as I do, you will reveal more and more of yourself to me, and more of God means more and more of steadfast love and faithfulness. Everybody good? Cool. And then it seems as if verse 15 is kind of a transition where he's going to move from all of these proclamations of things about God and the way that David and other people relate to God, and now he's going to move back into another prayer, or you could call it a plea. In 15, he says, my eyes are ever toward the Lord, for he will pluck my feet out of the net. So David is saying, God, my gaze is fixed on you. But where I'm currently standing is in the enemy's trap. I know all these things to be true of you, but the place that I'm at is making it hard for me to believe them. But I'm going to trust that you're going to come and get me. And now comes the plea, and I think that verses 16 through 22, I think that David is just pouring out his heart as he's writing this psalm. I think he's being so honest as he writes. I think he's being so vulnerable as he writes. And I think it's really beautiful the way that he feels like he can call upon God. I think there's something for us to learn here. He says, in a little bit of a turn of phrase, in 15 he said, my eyes are always fixed on you. Now he's saying, God, would you look at me? Turn to me and be gracious to me. And he's just going to, not that God doesn't know, but he's just going to tell God, this is where I'm at. God, I need your grace because I'm lonely. I'm afflicted. The troubles of my heart are enlarged. I'm distressed. Consider my affliction and my trouble. Forgive all my sins. Consider when you're dealing with me how many my foes are and how great their hatred is for me. Oh, guard my soul and deliver me. Let me not be put to shame, for I take refuge in you. So he's saying, God, I'm in a bad way. I'm coming to the end of myself. I'm sitting in the enemy's net. I've already been trapped by the enemy. I'm at the end of my rope, God, and I need you. Would you deal with me according to your love is what he said before. But now he's saying, God, would you deal with me considering all of these things? The plea that he's making, it communicates urgency because of how bad off he is. He's saying, Lord, you see how many people are surrounding me and how much they hate me. You see how lonely they are. And he's just saying, God, I need you and I need you now. You're my safe place. And I need you to be safe right now. And then in 21, and this is a beautiful end to his plea, he says, may integrity and uprightness preserve me, for I wait for you. Redeem Israel, O God, out of all his troubles. And so what he's acknowledging is, God, although I am asking for you to move right now, although I know to me it feels so urgent, God, although I really need you and I need you to show up and I'm asking for you to show up in a certain way, he says, but I'll follow you nonetheless. I'll keep following you. I'll keep walking in your way, the way of integrity, the way of uprightness. And while I'm doing that, I will wait with great hope, with great anticipation, expecting you to show up. And not just showing up for me, but because David knows that his enemies are Israel's enemies and Israel's enemies are God's enemies. He's saying, I know that you will show up. You will be the refuge. You will be the deliverance. You will be the salvation for me and for all of your people. That's what David's communicating. That's the end of his plea. And that's Psalm 25. And I think at the heart of this psalm, there is something for us to learn that is a little bit nuanced. I think it's pretty common for psalms to show us that it's okay to cry out to God. You've probably read a number of psalms and you've probably or hopefully have been struck by the way that David or a different psalmist is so open and vulnerable with God and how they feel like they can cry out to him in any time of trouble. But I think that the heart of this psalm or the message for us in this psalm is that it gives undertones for what is the posture at which we cry out from. And I think that there are two things to note about David's posture that would be good for us to learn from. And the first one is that he does not deserve any of the grace he's already been shown or any of the grace that God will show him in the future. He's coming to God crying out, and he's not coming at it from a place of, God, I've done my thing, it's time for you to do your thing. He's telling God, God, I've been following you. Please don't put me to shame. Don't let all of this be for nothing. But all the while, he's acknowledging, I have sins from my youth. I've done some things that I don't feel too good about. I've done some things that I know don't live up to your standard. Then in 11, he says, pardon my guilt, for it is great. God, I know that we made this covenant together, and I haven't held up my side. And then he gets down into 18, forgive all my sins. The more that he asks of God, the more grace that he's asking or requesting for, the more he realizes, God, I know I don't deserve it. God, I'm asking for you to continue to bless me, and I haven't done anything to earn it. What a beautiful posture that is as he cries out to God, as it's paired with this idea of, but I will wait on you. And it's not waiting for you to do your part like we're saying. Instead, it's, God, I'm asking from a place of real need. I'm asking from a place of real pain. I'm actually at the end of myself. And I'm waiting not for you to pull your weight, but I'm waiting for just you to keep being you. The beauty of what David, the posture that he's assuming as he cries out is it doesn't come from, I've earned it, I deserve it, I have a right to it. But instead it comes from, God, you've always been merciful and loving. You've always been abounding in steadfast love and faithful. And I'm not waiting on you to give me what's rightfully mine. I'm just waiting for you to show up in the way that you always have and always will. There's something really meaningful about this posture that David assumes where he's able to confidently cry out and say, God, I know you're going to pluck my feet out of the net. He's able to request of God, God, consider everything that I'm going through. Would you move now? But even if it's not right now, whenever it is that you're going to move, I know that it will be good. I know it will be upright. I know it will be full of mercy. I know that it will be full of love. And I know that you will prove yourself faithful. There's a beauty in the way that David counts on God to be God. And I think, and maybe this is like a little bit of a bummer for Family Worship Sunday. it feels like, I don't know, feels like that happens a good bit. But that's okay. I think for us, all of us in this room, as we learn from the posture that David cries out from, that we haven't earned it, but every bit of grace is because of God's love for us. Every bit of blessing that we've experienced is because he looks at you and he's not considering all of the sins that you committed, but because he sees you through the lens of Jesus, instead he looks at you with the love that he has for his perfect son. Then I think that there is a confidence at which we can call out to God. I think that there's a confidence that feels sometimes unrelatable when we read it from David's lips or through his pen. But a confidence that we could step into of God, I'm not counting on you to bless me because I've earned it or I deserve it. I'm just counting on you to keep being you in my life, and I trust that you will. And I'm going to do something that might be super lame, but I rewrote this psalm into a prayer for myself. And I'm just going to share it with you. And if you hate it, keep that to yourself. I want to give a few more warnings before I read it to you. One, I poured my heart into this. I don't need you to like it. I'm saying that more for me. But I did feel like I should let you know, one, I don't feel in any way as if I'm trying to be self-promoting. So if you find this cool, you can also keep that to yourself unless you feel like God wants you to share with me that it's cool. And then the last warning I will give you is it rhymes. So be careful just like with your facial expressions. I've been reading a lot of like baby Bible books. And I think it's just bleeding into my prayer life. But if you've never read them, they're pretty good. There's something really beautiful about taking complex truth and then putting it in a really simplistic way. But the reason I want to share this with you is because I rewrote this as a prayer for myself for later. Because we... And maybe you're sitting in this right now, but maybe you're not. I would say across your life, you most definitely will. We, like David, because we live in a cursed world, will end up at points where we are disappointed or discontent with the situations that we are currently existing in. And it's not because that's what God has led us into. Oftentimes, it's because of what we've laid up for ourselves. And I think that's part of David's acknowledgement of his own sin throughout this psalm. But we will end up in circumstances that are less than ideal. And I think when we do, and maybe if you're there right now, this psalm is a beautiful one to cling to. And that's why I wrote a version of it for a personal prayer. I wanted to share it with you just in case one day, or maybe it's today, you end up in a place that you feel like my circumstances are less than ideal. I know I don't deserve it, but God, I'm calling out for you to move. I'm calling out for you to keep being the person or the God that you've always been, the loving Father that you've been the whole time. So I just put this in my note file. It says, the heart of Psalm 25. I lift up my soul to you, God. I trust you with all that I am. I need you to come through in a way that only you can. You know me. I have been actively trusting you as I learn to walk in your grace. But I am in a dark spot at the end of my rope, and you are my only safe place. I ask you for your forgiveness, and I know I do not deserve your love. But I lean on your goodness as I await your blessings from above. I have no right to your kindness, but I'm counting on you. Teach me your path, the one of life anew. What's a guy got to do to get a water? I don't know if that will ever be helpful. Hopefully this message will be. But I just want to pray over us. that God would give us the confidence to move towards him because he's consistent and faithful. And he's holding it all together. Father, thanks for the people in this room, no matter what their age. Lord, thanks for the gathering of believers in your name. Lord, I pray that you would give us the truth by your Spirit that penetrates our heart, seeps into our soul, that we might believe it, so that we could rest in assurance that your character is consistent, that your love is unwavering, that always has been true and always will be true. Lord, we love you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for this week's message. Summit Upstate's mission is to give every man, woman, and child repeated opportunities to see, hear, and respond to the gospel. We'd love to connect with you, so we invite you to reach out to us at summitupstate.org.